time ago, there wasn't nothing on this earth because there was no earth. And there wasn't nothing nowhere except on Saturday when everybody went out to the fish fry. And so everybody was out to the fish fry eating fish and hush puppies and vile custard and carrying on. All at once, the Lord got hold of some custard that didn't suit his taste. He say, "This here custard ain't made right. It ain't got enough firmament in it." "Well," say the head cook, he say, "Excuse us, Lord, but," he say, "we done used up all the firmament. There ain't another drop in the jug." "Well," the Lord say, "looks like every time we has a fish fry, I has to lean back and pass a miracle." So he said, "I reckon I'll just lean back and pass a miracle and make some firmament." So the Lord read back and he say, "Let it be some firmament. And when I say let it be some firmament, let it be a whole heap of firmament." Well, sir, you just ought to see the firmament. They were standing around knee deep in it. And the Lord say, the mammy angel say, "Well, I guess I got to give up these here cherubs and take them home and dry them out, or they're going to get a buck ager." The Lord say, "Now, sisters, don't go busting up the fish fry." He say, "I'll pass a miracle and make the sun to dry out these here cherubs." So the Lord read back again and he say, "Let it be the sun to dry out these cherubs." And there was the sun hanging up there in the sky. But quick as them young'uns got dry, they got wet again because they was so much firmament. The Lord say, "Well, I guess I got to pass another miracle to drain off some of this here firmament and have a place to put it." So he leaned back again and he say, "Let it be the earth to hold this firmament." And there was the earth. And all that firmament ran into oceans and the lakes and the ponds and the streams and the rivers. 'Cause firmament ain't nothing but a fancy name for water. And so there was the land, the earth, but there was a whole lot of dry land left over. And the Lord look around to see who he gonna get to work his land. And my goodness, all them angels was mighty busy. And old Gabriel say, "Now, Lord, don't you be looking at me." He say, "I can't do no plowing or chopping." He say, "I got to be practicing on my horn all the time." And so the Lord say, "Yeah, well," he say, "I bet you the next time I get to passing miracles, I ain't going to be so brash about it." So the Lord leaned down, and he picked up a handful of dirt, and he made it into a ball. And he say, "Let this dirt be mankind." And there was a man standing by him. And he say, "What's your name, man?" He say, "Adam." He say, "Adam which?" He say, "Just plain Adam." He say, "You married?" He say, "Married. I ain't stood into women." He say, "Yeah." He say, "I ain't gonna have no single men's to work in my land." He say, "They stay out and frolic all night. The next day, they's too sleepy to work." He say, "I'm gonna change all that." So the Lord put old Adam to sleep again. And he took out a rib. And he made that rib into a woman named Eve. And when old Adam woke up, there was Eve with her head on his pillow. And he say, "Where you come from, gal?" She say, "No matter where I come from, I share, ain't I?" And so Adam and Eve got married and settled down to raise a crop for the Lord. And one fine autumn morning, Eve was out picking blackberries in the fence row, And the Lord came walking down the road, and he say, "Good morning, Sis Eve." And she say, "Good morning, Lord." And he say, "Picking a few blackberries?" She say, "Yes, the Lord, I'm going to make Adam a deep pan pie." He say, "Well, you just go ahead and pick them berries. You pick the huckleberries and the blueberries and the blackberries and the raspberries and pick the bananas and the oranges and the grapes. Just one thing I don't want you to touch, and that's the apple orchard, because the crop is kind of short, and they're going to bring a good price this fall." Well, she said, "Well, that's all right, Lord." He said, "Me and Adam, we don't care for apples." And so the Lord went on down the road, and no sooner do he disappear than a great big old Highland moccasin snake came crawling through the fence. And Eve say, "Now look at that old rascal. I'm going to mash his old head in." And she pick up a rock and she let that rock go. But now you know how things is with women. They ain't never been a woman which could throw straight. So instead of hitting the snake, Eve done hit the apple tree. And down come a apple right at her feet. Now she say, "Now look at there, what I done. I done knocked off one of the Lord's apples. It sure is putty. Too putty for the hogs to eat." So she pick it up and she took a bite. And she say, "It sure don't taste like nothing. I think I'll take it out yonder in the field and see if Adam don't want to eat it." And so she went out in the field where Adam was plowing, and she say, "Looky here what I done brung you." And he look at it, and he say, "Shaw, why don't you bring me something I like?" Well, Eve blubbers up and commences to cry. And she said, "No, you don't never like nothing I give you." Well, you know, when a woman works up tears, she gonna get some action. And she got that action, all right. He said, "Oh, honey, I was just funning with you. Give me that apple." He said, "I'll eat it right down to the core." And he said, "Sides that," he said, "you done needed a dress for a long time, because you ain't got no dress." He said, "I'll buy you a new dress." And so old Adam ate the apple, and Eve got her new dress, and the Lord found out all about it. And he was mighty mad, because he didn't mean to have nobody on his place what stole his apples. And so the last I knew, the Lord done throwed them off his place. And the last I know of them is they's down on the levee trying to get a job at 6 bits a day.
You may have figured out that Mary Smith McLean is not here. There's a good possibility that she was riding down the road and saw a piano sitting on the side of the road and stopped to play some tunes and is not coming until maybe tomorrow. I was talking to Cousin Thelma a while ago, and she said, "You know," how does she do it now? Somebody give me a Cousin Thelma accent. "Now, Ernie, you know that there's a song that has not been heard at this festival in a long time, and it's Froggy Went A-Courtin'. And don't you think we need to hear more of that?" And, of course, I always say, "Yes, Cousin Thelma." It doesn't matter what she says. So, but now that I think about it, do you guys remember the old days? You remember when it was like Cousin Thelma, before she got mellow, would say things like, "Now, this festival is not going one step further until these young ladies right on the front put your feet down on the floor and act like the young ladies you're supposed to be." Do you remember that? Oh, there's Charlie Cox again coming up to sing. He looks worse and worse every year with that old hair growing longer and longer. Well, anyway. And he did, too. Charlie, he looked worse and worse every year. Well, Froggy went a-courtin' and he did right, uh-huh. Froggy went a-courtin' and he did right, uh-huh. Froggy went a-courtin' and he did right, a sword and a pistol by his side. Now, see, if you wanted to sing this song, what you'd do is you would listen to the first line, and then you would sing the second line, and then you would stop. And then I would say something clever each time. And then at the end, you'd go, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Well, Froggy went a-courtin' and he did right, uh-huh. Froggy went a-courtin' and he did right, uh-huh. Froggy went a-courtin' and he did right, a sword and a pistol by his side, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Well, he rode up to Missy Mouse's door, uh-huh. Rode up to Missy Mouse's door, uh-huh. Rode up to Missy Mouse's door, place he'd been many times before, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Well, some of the lines are cleverer than others. Well, he said, Missy Mousey, are you within, uh-huh? Said, Missy Mousey, are you within, uh-huh? Said, Missy Mousey, are you within?
Why, yes, kind sir, I sit and spin,
uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Well, he put Missy Mousey up on his knee, uh-huh. Put Missy Mousey up on his knee, uh-huh. Put Missy Mousey up on his knee, said, why, Missy Mouse, won't you marry me? Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Well, without my papa rat's consent, uh-uh. Without my papa rat's consent, uh-uh. Without my papa rat's consent,
I couldn't even marry Mr. President.
And who'd want to? Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Okay, no politics. Well, that papa rat laughed and he shook his fat sides, uh-huh. Papa rat laughed and he shook his fat sides, uh-huh. Papa rat laughed and he shook his fat sides. Think that his sooner winter would soon be a bride, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, where will the wedding breakfast be, uh-huh. Where will the wedding breakfast be, uh-huh. Where will the wedding breakfast be? Way down yonder in a holler tree, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Well, what will the wedding breakfast be, uh-huh? What will the wedding breakfast be, uh-huh? What will the wedding breakfast be? 49 green beans and 12 black-eyed peas, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, they all went sailing across the lake, uh-huh. All went sailing across the lake, uh-huh. All went sailing across the lake and got swallowed up by a big black snake. The wind was a tarn of madness among the gusty trees. The moon was a ghostly galleon tossed upon cloudy seas. The road was a ribbon of moonlight over the purple moor, and the highwoman came riding, riding. The highwoman came riding up to the olden door. He'd a French cocked hat at his forehead. He had a bunch of lace at his chin. Coat of claret velvet and breeches of brown doe skin. Oh, they fit with never a wrinkle, and his boots were up to his thigh. And he rode with a jewel twinkle, his pistol butts a twinkle, his rapier hilt a twinkle under the jewel sky. Over the cobbles he clattered and clanged in the dark inn yard. He tapped with his whip at the shutter, but all was locked and barred. He whistled a tune to the window, and who should be waiting there but Bess, the landlord's daughter, the landlord's black-eyed daughter, plaiting a dark red love knot into her long black hair. And deep in the dark old inn yard, a stable wicket creaked where Tim, the ostler, listened. His face was white and peaked. His eyes were hollows of madness, and his hair was like moldy hay. But he loved the landlord's daughter, the landlord's red-lipped daughter, and dumb as a dog, he listened, and he heard the robber say, "One kiss, my bonny sweetheart, from after a prize tonight. Ah, but I'll be back with the yellow gold before the morning's light. Yet if they harry me sharply and press me through the day, then look for me by moonlight, watch for me by moonlight, for I'll come to thee by moonlight, though hell should bar the way." He rose upright in the stirrups. He scarce could reach her hand, but She loosed her hair in the casement, and his face burned like a brand as the black cascade of perfume came tumbling o'er his breast. And he kissed its waves in the moonlight, oh, sweet black waves in the moonlight. Then he tugged at his reins in the moonlight and spurred away to the west. Well, he did not come with the dawning, and he did not come at noon. But out of the tawny sunset before the rise of the moon, when the road is a gypsy's ribbon looping the purple moor, a redcoat troop came marching, marching, marching. King George's men came marching up to the old inn door. They spoke not a word to the landlord. They drank his ale instead, but they gagged his daughter and bound her to the foot of her narrow bed. Two of them knelt at her casement with their muskets by their side. There was death at every window, but there was hell at one dark window because Bess could see through the window the road that he would ride. They'd bound her up to attention with many a sniggering jest. They'd bound a musket beside her with the barrel beneath their breast. Now keep good watch, they said, and they kissed her. And she heard the dead man say, watch for me by moonlight. Look for me by moonlight, for I'll come to thee. By moonlight, though hell should bar the way. She stretched and strained in the moonlight while the hours crawled by like years. She writhed her hands in the moonlight, and all the knots held good. She stretched and strained in the darkness till her fingers were wet with sweat or blood. She stretched and strained in the moonlight, and the darkness crawled by like years till now. On the stroke of midnight, cold on the stroke of midnight, the tip of one finger touched it. The trigger, at least, was hers. The tip of one finger touched it. She strove no more for the rest. She stood up straight to attention with the barrel beneath her breast. She would not risk their hearing. She would not strive again. For the road lay bare in the moonlight, blank and bare in the moonlight, and the blood in her veins in the moonlight beat to her love's refrain. Tlut, 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 tlut. Had they heard it? Those horse hoofs ringing clear? Tlut, 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 tlut. In the distance? Were they deaf that they did not hear? Down the ribbon of moonlight and over the brow of the hill, a highwayman came riding, riding. The redcoats looked at their priming. She stood up straight and still. Tlut, tlut, in the frosty silence. Tlut, tlut, in the echoing night. Nearer he came and nearer. Her face was like a light. Her eyes grew wide for a second. She drew one last deep breath and her finger moved in the moonlight. Her musket shattered the moonlight, shattered her breast in the moonlight and warned him with her death. He turned, he spurred to the westward. He did not know who stood, bowed with her head over her musket, drenched in her own red blood. Not till the morning he heard it. Then his face grew gray to hear how Bess, the landlord's daughter, the landlord's black-eyed daughter, had watched for her love in the darkness and died in the darkness there. Back he shrieked like a madman, shrieking a curse to the sky with his rapier brandished, the white road smoking behind him, and his pistols aimed high. Blood red were his spurs in the golden noon. Wine red was his velvet coat when they shot him down on the highway. Down like a dog on the highway, and he lay in his blood on the highway with a bunch of lace at his throat. Now, but still of a winter's night, they say, when the moon is in the trees, when the moon's a ghostly galleon tossed upon cloudy seas, when the road's just a ribbon of moonlight over the purple moor, a highwayman comes riding. Riding, a highwayman comes riding up to the old inn door. Over the cobbles he clatters and he clangs in the dark inn yard, and he whistles a tune to the window. All is locked and barred, but he whistles a tune to the window, and who should be waiting there but Bess, the landlord's daughter, the landlord's black-eyed daughter, plaiting a dark red love knot into her long black hair.
I just thought, wasn't that a beautiful poem? Let's give Ernie another hand. And thank you for singing Froggy Went A-Courtin'. Aren't you glad he sang it? I am. About 10 or 15, you know, the festival, we are proud to say, is 35 years old this year. Third generations are performing at the Folk Festival. Isn't that marvelous? And I'm happy to say that I've emceed all but the first three folk festivals. And I think that's pretty remarkable, too, don't you? Well, about 10 or 15 years ago, Jim Ballou used to come to the Folk Festival from Orlando. And I guess he didn't want to get up mixed up in the hippie era in the 70s, early 70s, or some reason. He was too busy making a living. But last year, he suddenly decided that he was missing something. So he came back. And I'm happy to say that it's a great pleasure to introduce this talented young man, Jim Ballou from Orlando.
Thank you very much, friends. It's a great thrill for me to be back here at White Springs. I was here last year on a Sunday, which was the only day I was able to get here. And it's always a special thing. I've been coming here since 64, on and off, mostly off. Say your girl asked you over to meet Mama and Papa. She tells them that she thinks you're nice. Oh, there's trouble ahead. You'll wish you were dead. So follow this friendly advice. Don't pet the dog. Don't pet him, whatever you do. He ain't been fixed, and he knows some tricks that'll sure make a fool out of you. Don't pet the dog. He gets it confused with romance. Leave him alone, or the first thing you know, he'll be taking your leg to the dance. You ought to see the video on this song, friends. It's really perverse, believe me. Oh, you say it's okay, and you brush him away. What's his name? Does he sit up and beg? You try to be cool, but you feel like a fool with a dog that's attached to your leg. Now you know what they really mean when they say, let sleeping dogs lie, friends. You know what? This song has sing-along written all over it, friend. I want you to join me as we go along. I'll give you the words, okay? Don't pet the dog. Don't pet the dog. Good. Don't pet him, whatever you do. Don't pet him, whatever you do. He ain't been fixed. He ain't been fixed, and he ain't knows some tricks. He knows some tricks that'll sure make a fool. That'll sure make a fool out of you. By God, I think you got it. Don't pet the dog. He gets it confused. He gets it confused with romance. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Or the first thing you know. Friends, you know, this is going to be the last time that this particular group of people has ever assembled together in one place. We have it within our grasp right now to get together as a unit of one and immortalize the words, "He'll be taking your leg to the dance, friends." This is our chance. Now, by golly, let's do it. Come on. He'll be taking your leg to the dance. Friends, I need to ask you, what do you get when you cross a male donkey with a female horse? Hey, give that man the trophy of the evening. You get our prize for the evening. You answered that question right. Our prize for the evening is a bottle of Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage wine. For those occasions when only a fine brown wine will do. That's good. You answered the first question on the cracker quiz. Now, what do you get when you cross a female donkey with a male horse? A Chevy. That's a that's weird. No, a Jenny. That's right. I think that's what you said anyway. That's right. A Jenny. Now, friends, here's the final question on the cracker quiz. How long does a mule live? Till he dies? That's a good answer. But that's not the right one. Every good Florida cracker knows that a mule never dies. When they get to be 50, they turn into preachers. I've got a good mule song here I want to do for you. Well, I had a mule, he's such a fool, he never paid no heed. I built a fire beneath his tail, and then he showed some speed. Now get along, mule, don't roll your eyes. Oh, you could change a fool, but a doggone mule is a mule until it dies. Get along, mule, don't roll your eyes. Yeah, you could change a fool, but a doggone mule is a mule until it dies. Well, I bought some biscuits for my dog, laid him up on the shelf. Times got so hard, I shot my dog and ate him up all myself. Now get along, mule, don't roll your eyes. Yeah, you can change a fool, but a doggone mule is a mule until it dies. Get along, mule, don't roll your eyes. Yeah, you can change a fool, but a doggone mule is a mule until it dies. Cat fool with Ma's knitting bag and swallowed a ball of yarn. When that cat had kittens, well, they all had sweaters on. Now get along, mule, don't roll your eyes. Yeah, you could change a fool, but a doggone mule is a mule until it dies. Get along, mule, don't roll your eyes. Yeah, you could change a fool, but a doggone mule is a mule until it dies. Well, I went to call on my best girl, her bulldog jumped at me. He bit me in the old back porch right near the maple tree. Now get along, mule, don't roll your eyes. Yeah, you could change a fool, but a doggone mule is a mule until it dies. Get along, mule, don't roll your eyes. Yeah, you could change a fool, but but a doggone mule is a mule until it dies. Thank you very much. Most of these songs I'll be doing tonight are songs off of my latest album.